RXR FM, Walden, Chattanooga. A production of Whitfield Media Group. This is the fastest hour in radio, racing talk radio on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Now, live from the Optimize U studio, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome into the program, everybody. Happy Monday. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Happy Monday, if I hadn't already said that. You know what? A lot of times Mondays aren't the coolest, but today hasn't been bad. It's not a gajillion degrees. Got a little bit of rain out there. Got a really good month, a solid month of fantastic sports coming your way. And we couldn't be more excited. And, of course, we're going to start that off by the only three letters you need to know during this show. And that's SVG. Another road course, another win for Sean's favorite driver, Shane Van Gisbergen. It's no shock at all. But what a win for him. And, of course, the playoffs are now down to eight drivers. And then there were eight. So we have got a lot to talk about. What are the next three races? How did this race go? Points, playoffs, who's going to be our next champion? Man, like I said, plus a month of fantastic sports coming up. Sit back, relax. It is indeed time. Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. I am Casey, and across from me, ladies and gentlemen, fresh out of the hospital. He's on them good drugs. At least I hope so. It is none other then Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group. Welcome in, man.
Hey, good evening. So this is a happy Monday. I think that's how you started the show off.
It's not, but you know what? Let's face it. Mondays don't always get the best rap, but maybe it's just now because Monday's over. Well, we got to turn it around on it.
I would say it's a happy Monday. Last Thursday was not a happy Thursday, but happy Monday is in order. It's a nice temperature outside, even though the sun is not out, and we've got NASCAR to talk about, and I'm trying to get over an eye surgery, and I can just see you just a little bit right now.
So that's
which is not necessarily a bad thing.
My comment about you being on the good drugs, of course, is because of your surgery on Thursday, but all went as the doctor expected. You're on the mend, at least, and if anyone's ever had pink eye, that's kind of what it looks like with Sean. He's got one pink eye. And one
I'd say it's
eye.
Worse than pink eye.
I don't know. It depends on how
it
bad
looks like I've been
eye.
In a UFC fight and I lost.
The good thing for you is I'm wearing my glasses today, my brand new glasses. And so I really can't see, if they're not on, I can't really see you anyway that well, at least enough to tell your eyes red. So yeah. I'll leave those off.
Yeah. And I'm still dealing with soreness and a lot of the swelling has gone down. But hey, I am very blessed. Right now, I have no vision in my right eye, but it is expected and anticipated and all those good things that I will be having vision back in the next few weeks. So, I have nothing to complain about.
And speaking of visions, let's talk about that beautiful vision of a wife you have. It's her birthday today. Do we want to do this now or later when she might actually be listening?
Well, she is definitely not listening right now since she is on News Channel 9 at the moment. But, yes, it is her birthday, and she turns 40 today. So
40?
Yeah, 40.
Man, atta girl.
Yeah.
That's crazy how she figured out to make it go backwards.
She's getting younger. She just celebrated 25 years at News Channel 9, and she started before she ever graduated high school. So, she has accomplished a lot.
Way to go, Kim. So happy birthday
to her. So, yes, happy birthday to her. And we were supposed to be at Panama City Beach for her birthday, but my eye surgery took control of our schedule. And
that dang old lazy eye you got.
Yeah, the doctor said no airplanes for you. We don't want you in an airplane and all the changes in cabin pressure. You're not supposed to be in a plane for about a month, so I guess I will not be going anywhere for a while.
You know what's crazy is
like the eye is so, I mean, we think of it as such a tender organ, you know, yeah. like, and cause if anything gets in your eye, it hurts, you know, when you don't never, no one ever wants anyone poking in their eye.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. They put those drops in there. And here's the thing. I went and got my eye test. Nothing like what you did, but they had to dilate me and put those numbing drops. Mm-hmm. And they had this little machine. It was basically poking me in the eye. And I'm like,
pressure test.
This is so weird. Why, you know, why does it this hurt? But you know what? My eyes, I can take a beating like the rest of us.
You know, I was talking to my father this morning on the phone, and he is getting ready to get some cataract. I don't know if you'd call it surgery or not. I guess you would. It's going to be about a 5-minute procedure for him with a laser. And I was telling him, I said, I am so sick and tired of my eyes being dilated and all these drops put in there, numbing drops, you know, the drops for dilation, and the list goes on. Because Thursday morning when I was getting ready to go into about a 45-minute surgery, there was 16 drops. Each item was 2 drops, so there was 8 different chemicals or solutions or whatever you want to say put into my eyes. And I'm tired of having drops put in my eyes. And then right now I got 2 prescriptions I have to take 4 times a day.
Oh yeah,
the 2 prescriptions are eye drops of whatever they are. And so yeah, I will be thankful when the eye drops are out of my world. But I want to say this to our listening audience, that don't do like I have done. I have not been to the eye doctor.
Don't do like I
in about 7 years. And a good friend of mine, Jed Mescon, he stopped by my office.
Yeah.
He stopped by my office about 5 or 6 months ago. And we spent about an hour or so catching up. And one of the reasons he stopped by is he was headed to his optometrist, which is about a mile or two down the road here from the Whitfield Media Group. And I told him, yeah, man, I said, I need to go to the eye doctor. My glasses are out of prescription. I struggle all the time being able to read things because I hadn't had new glasses in so long. And he started telling me, he said, man, you got to take this serious. You know, your vision's so important, blah, blah, blah. And that was somewhat of a wake-up call. But, you know, I think us guys, we procrastinate worse than anybody.
Especially when it comes to taking care of yourself.
Yeah, when it comes to doctors and medical purposes. And I have thought countless times ever since about 6 weeks ago when all this started happening to me with my vision, of the day that Jed stopped by. And I thought, you know, I should have taken him to heart and more serious, because I don't know if I could have prevented what I've been going through, but it's possible they could have caught something early instead of it being one of these situations where I lose all my vision in my right eye and then I find myself going through what I've been going through. So anyway, I want to encourage people out there listening, take your eyes and your vision serious. Get regular checkups. I'm not sure how often you should do that, but don't take your vision for granted, because you don't want to be like what I'm going through and have regrets that you've done that. And there's no reason I should have put this off. I've had vision insurance for decades, so it wasn't a cost thing, because I've had vision insurance. And even if I didn't have vision insurance, that's no excuse either. So, you know, take it serious and go see your eye doctor, your optometrist, whatever, you know, they may be called, and get those routine checkups.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people that don't wear glasses or contacts don't ever go to the eye doctor. Yeah. It's like, why?
But yeah.
There's a lot of, you know.
And I didn't.
There's a reason they're there.
I didn't start wearing glasses till I turned 44. I just recently turned 57. So, you know. Whether you need glasses or not, get your eyes checked out periodically, and especially if you're somebody out there that's got vision insurance, it even makes it that much easier to help, you know, subsidize the cost. So anyway, hopefully, you know, I can be an
big
example
thing. You're on listening. The mend. You're on the way back, and that's good.
Yeah. So how was the weekend?
Oh, man, it was good. What did we do this
week? Did you do anything fun?
You know what? I didn't see you at Mass, and I just assumed it's because you were
nobody saw me anywhere.
You were recovering.
last night, we got over to dinner at Jay Alexander's, but other than that, Kim brought me here to the office part of the day Saturday, but I didn't see anybody since my surgery on Thursday morning.
We went to church, ran around, did a bunch of errands. That was really about it. Nothing too exciting.
No golf?
No golf. Went to go eat at Community Pie over by the mall.
Oh, yeah.
And Five Wits Brewing. And, man, went with some friends, and we had a really good time. And
they've got good pizza there.
I went with the Detroit, like the Detroit style, and this thing called the Drunken Pig or something. Oh, my gosh, Sean. I'm having dreams about that pizza.
Was the pizza called Drunken Pig?
Called Drunk Pig or something like that.
What was on it?
It was like some... You know, like ham and sausage. It's kind of supreme, except without the veggies, but it's the deep dish, and it had this special sauce on it. Man, I got to tell you, highly recommended.
So was it a lot of dough?
Yes.
A lot of bread?
Yeah. And, you know, that's my jam.
See, I try to choose pizza that's thin crust.
Well, that's...
So I don't get all the bread, and then it fills me up, and I can't enjoy all the toppings and stuff that's on pizza.
The bread is, like, I'm a bread guy.
I like Community Pie far better than I like Mellow Mushroom. Kim and I was over at Mellow Mushroom a couple months ago, and I left there saying I'll never go back. It took forever to get our pizza, and we walk in and we go. It's on a Saturday night too.
They got a lot of good beers there.
7:30, and we walk in and we thought, oh, we'll sit over in the bar area. We walk over to the bar area, and it's completely empty, completely empty. No one was in that area. And this is like 7 or 7:30 on Saturday night. There wasn't even anybody working in that area. And so I walk over there, and I kind of walk around maybe 5 or 10 seconds. Somebody comes out of the kitchen. I said, hey, is this area open? She said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I said, we just don't have any customers. And I should have known that is a good reason that I should have turned around and walked out. But we didn't. We ordered, and it took us almost, it's either 45 or 50 minutes to get our pizza.
Man, that's a long time.
Oh, yeah. So, especially when, and then the restaurant was less than half full.
See, Community Pie was rocking and rolling.
But I've had a good experience at Community Pie.
They had some really good beers there, too.
So, you were more into the beers instead of the pizza?
No, the pizza was, I'm telling you how good the pizza was, but they had some good beer, too. TVs everywhere.
Was it very busy?
It got real busy. Watch the Florida and Texas game. This year in college football is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
It is 1,000% bonkers.
Well, the reason I was wondering if they were busy is, you know, that's the second business that's been at that location. It's kind of stuck over there to itself. And so I've been a little concerned, you know, if it was going to make it or not, because
Before, and there's actually something else before that, too. So it's been a couple things.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was a great weekend of college football. Of course, the Georgia Bulldogs, they won in a big, big way against Kentucky. So that was good. Tennessee was off. Alabama beat Vandy, which I was disappointed with. I was really pulling for Vandy. They played a good game, but boy, Alabama's defense was tough.
Yeah, I won money on that game. I felt like Alabama was going to come make a statement, and they did.
And, of course, you know, Alabama was playing at home, so that's tough anytime you're playing on the road in the SEC. But we encourage you to join myself and Stephen Hargis, sports editor with the Chattanooga Times Free Press, each and every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., right here on Chattanooga's Rock Station, Rock 103.7 for college football radio. Nothing but SEC football from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And we'll be on Rock 103.7 all the way through the end of 2025. This is our seventh season of college football radio. So if you are in the SEC college football, join us. We don't talk about any other college football but Southeastern Conference. So be sure and join us Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. One last thing before we head to a break. You hadn't mentioned the Chattanooga Market in a while.
Hadn't been.
So you haven't been.
Hmm.
Well, you know what's coming up this next weekend, don't
Oktoberfest.
You? Oktoberfest.
My favorite.
Yeah. So that's going to be going on Saturday and Sunday. So hopefully you can go and stay out of trouble and not have too much. And
weather should be great. Temperatures look great, and the extended forecast is showing nothing but sun and in the 70s. That sounds like some good golf weather.
And it would be golf and beer, and luckily those two go together.
They go together. All right, well, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to break down the entire NASCAR weekend from Charlotte, as well as we're going to give you an update of where this lawsuit sits between NASCAR, 2311, and Furniture Row Racing. Casey and I think you and I discussed a couple of weeks ago that none of the other team owners had said anything.
Yeah.
Had spoken out.
Mum's been the word.
Well, there's been some statements released from Penske, Childress, Joe Gibbs, and others. And we're going to share those today and share where we stand right now. From everything I'm reading from the Associated Press, there's a lot of people that's getting a lot more nervous and more concerned than ever before. So we'll break all that down and more. Also, too, NBC is bringing back their sports network. I don't know why they ever let it go. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. I want to thank all of you out there for joining us as we're broadcasting to you live from the Optimize U studio. More straight ahead for Casey Orr. I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Hey, it's Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 888-893-3537. If you've dreamed of owning your own vineyard and working farm, your opportunity has arrived in Ringgold, Georgia, with 70-plus acres of hayfields, grape vineyards, blueberries, and wildlife. The Vineyard Farm on Hooper Road is now available and priced at $1.2 million. Contact me for your personal tour. Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 423-315-1815.
You love some fresh Mexican food. You like to eat healthy. I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
All right, welcome back to the program. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr. Each and every Monday, we join you at 6 o'clock for Race and Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. It's what's happening right now. And today, we're getting ready to talk about the Charlotte Roval and SVG's, I guess, another? I mean, that's not enough. Like, SVG's continuance of dominance in the road course racing as he gets another win and just continues what Sean and I talked about before the playoffs. If he could just keep it between the lines enough to get to the second round, he could really do something cool and win a road course race and advance to the next round. Well, he did one of three. He won the road course race, but he wasn't able to make it into the round of 12. He will not be moving on into the round of 8 either. But still, a big win for SVG, which, I mean, literally, when I don't know who's gonna be the champion this year, Sean. We don't know if Joey Logano is going to win another one. We don't know if Denny Hamlin finally gets the monkey off his back, right? But I think when all the annals of history are written about the NASCAR, the 2025 season is going to be the arrival of SVG and the road course. We have not seen just and you can't say it's running good. You can't say, oh, they had a good year. No, just dominance. Like, when he shows up at road course races, right now it's a race for second place.
Yes, there's no question about that. And the fact that he's a rookie driver and has won as many races as he's won this year, he's won every road course. And the other thing that is even makes it even more unbelievable is the amount of margin of which he's won. For example, yesterday it was over 15 seconds. The race before that he won, it's like 16 and a half seconds. I was watching the broadcast on USA, and it's almost hard to imagine that you're watching a TV broadcast of NASCAR. And I think it's Lee Diffie that's the main commentator for NBC and USA. He announces he's crossing the finish line, and then he has to take 15 seconds and figure out what else he's going to talk about.
Which doesn't sound like a long time until you're on air and you realize that's a long time.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out what else is he going to talk about until he announces who's second, third, and so on. And then, of course, I've gone blank. Justin Marks, Trackhouse Racing.
Yeah.
They had no driver to go on to the next round. Basically, you could say SVG was a spoiler. And right now, the way that we're going into the next round, it's certainly a battle between Hendricks, Penske, and Joe Gibbs Racing. But it is remarkable what Shane Van Gisbergen is able to do. And, you know, some may say, well, he's just sort of stinking up the show because it's already pretty much a given that he is going to be the one to win. And then you could, you know, some NASCAR fans may say, well, there's really not a reason for me to hang around and watch an entire road course race when I could be watching some football. Because we already know how the finish is going to be. So it gets you to thinking, okay, well, how does NASCAR feel about the fact that they've got a driver that's winning in such dominating fashion on a road course? Could this have NASCAR behind closed doors thinking, okay, we got to figure out how we can sort of change things up so we don't have this kind of domination? Or do you think they're having conversations behind closed doors that, you know, it is what it is? Just like back in the days when Jimmy Johnson was having such domination and winning all the races that he was and the championships.
Yeah, but right now we're still early enough into the SVG dominance. I think you're tuning in to watch history being made. You're not tuning in because it's boring because he's so good.
Yeah, but don't you think after the fact that he's won 6 races so far, and we've got such the competition of the NFL that there was some viewers that tuned out yesterday.
Oh, I mean, I think people know. I don't think him being good, if anything, him being that good and to see if he can do it again is a reason. I think just as many people would have tuned into that as opposed to tuned out. But, you know, I told you I went to eat pizza this weekend, and we were there, and the entire place had football. There were, you know, a whole bunch of dual monitors basically, and
you were doing pizza while the race was going on.
Yes, but it was the Xfinity Series race, it was Saturday night.
Saturday night you were there.
Yeah, so we're watching the Xfinity race, and I'm like, I bet this is the only establishment in town that during a busy SEC football weekend has got one SEC game on, and the other one is the Xfinity Series race. So.
Well, I guess it depends on how many TVs the place has got to start with. And of course, CW is a prominent network, and they've got all the Xfinity Series races, and I think they've done a nice job with it. And we hadn't talked about the Xfinity Series this year, but Connor Zillage scored his 10th victory.
There you go. I was watching the Connor race a little bit.
In that race that you were watching Saturday. 10 victories so far. Don't you know this guy is going to be a strong contender coming into the Cup Series next year? Of course, he drives for Junior Motorsports. But, man, what a season has Connor Zillage had, man. He's been on top of it.
Yeah, you just feel bad that it seems like the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series, for that matter, popularity's waned recently, and I don't. But we used to talk about it on this show. But unless something really unique happens, it just seems like it's not getting as much airtime.
I think they've. I haven't seen any numbers to back this up, but if I was a betting person, which I'm not, but I know you are, I would say that both the series are probably about where they have been. I don't know that they've gone backwards. If anything, I think them being on the CW and having consistency on a major network is possibly been a benefit to the Xfinity Series.
Well, you know,
I've watched more Xfinity races because of where it's at on CW.
You and I, we were definitely in the camp of you got to stop letting Cup drivers in the Xfinity Series. But I don't know. I may have flipped over now, and I'm thinking they probably get more viewers if every now and again Chase Elliott and Kyle Busch and all those guys were down there racing against the other guys. So
because,
I don't know.
Because being on the CW is a far better location than being on USA Network.
Well, that's true.
That's for sure. So but I don't know. We need to do a little research and see if we can determine how the ratings are looking so far for both the lower tier series. All right, let's dive into the results of the Bank of America Roval 400. And as we've been talking, Shane Van Gisbergen got that win, his sixth victory in 46 Cup races. This is his fifth victory and seventh top 10 finish. In 2025, this is his first victory and second top 10 finish in two races at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Kyle Larson came in second. He posted his third top 10 finish in seven races at Charlotte. It is his 19th top 10 finish in 2025. Christopher Bell came in third. He posted his fourth top 10 finish in six races so far at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Going on down the list, we have Chris Buescher in fourth. Michael McDowell in fifth, Ryan Priest in sixth, Daniel Suarez, great finish for him.
Baby Daniel.
In seventh, as he is in search of a job for 2026. Chase Elliott in eighth, A.J. Allmendinger in ninth, 10th, Tyler Reddick.
Some other drivers of note, William Byron, another playoff driver, 11th, Ryan Blaney, 13th, Chase Briscoe, 14th, Bubba Wallace, 15th. Down the list a little bit, Joey Logano in 20th. Ross Chastain, 21st. Denny Hamlin, the lowest finishing playoff driver. Well, second lowest finishing playoff driver in 23rd. And Austin Cindric, not what you want to do when you're trying to make it to the next round. He finishes 36 out of 37 cars.
There were 15 lead changes among eight drivers. There were only three caution flags for 18 laps. But, man, SVG, he is on top of the world when it
just
comes
dominating.
To
dominating. And I really do. You know, we see this every now and again, Sean, in different sports. But, you know, the Golden State Warriors were really dominant for a while. The Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, they still make the Super Bowl every year, it seems. And there can be some fatigue at some point. But when that stuff starts out, I think it's a tune-in factor. And right now, like, you're like, I'm going to tune in and see what it is about this guy. That he's just that much better than everybody. It doesn't make sense. We were led to believe for so long that road courses were different and we had to have road course ringers. And then the guys just adapted and now everybody's the same, right? And some drivers are better than others, but the talent and the the materials are there for everybody to be competitive. And then this guy shows up, and Sean, he's just that much better than everybody.
Yeah. Well, even if he was just winning races and winning by a second or two margin, then it would make you feel like that the competition could possibly gain ground on him in the not so distant future. But when we're talking the spread of 15, 16 seconds, I mean, that is a long time in the sport of NASCAR, a long time. And that is what is so mind-boggling.
Yeah,
about just how good he really
and,
is.
And winning, you know, winning half the races means you're the best road course racer. But it's like, oh, I'm sorry, are we going somewhere other than just left? I think I'll win this one, guys.
Yeah, for sure. All right, it is time for us to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk about the drivers that are going to move in or have moved in to the round of eight as we get closer to the NASCAR Championship playoffs that are going to be coming up in a few weeks in Phoenix, Arizona. The heat is getting a lot hotter, and we're seeing a lot of drivers feeling the pressure even more than ever. We're going to dive into all that and a whole lot more as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Go to your favorite podcast platform and search Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You.
Join Sean Whitfield, Matt Davis, and Darren Johnson for a podcast about fitness, health, and bodybuilding.
We feature the best in fitness and bodybuilding right here in Chattanooga.
You can expect workout advice and fitness tips from two of the best fitness and bodybuilding trainers in Chattanooga.
Many great guests and inspiring conversations.
A lot of laughs and entertainment to go along with it.
Subscribe and follow Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, today.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
Chattanooga, when it comes to vascular care, there's a regional leader that really stands out, the Vascular Institute. Why are we your easy button for care? At the Vascular Institute, we put you in control. Self-referrals are not just welcome, they're encouraged for maximum convenience and flexibility for all. No more waiting in the dark. We offer timely appointments to address your symptoms promptly. Your health is our priority, and we understand the importance of swift action. Experience the team of dedicated specialists who provide personalized care. If you're looking for more than just care, if you're looking for the leaders in their field, choose the Vascular Institute, your trusted care provider, and experience the VIC difference today. Five convenient locations to serve you. Find Vascular Institute online at vascularinstituteofchattanooga.com.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio on 98.1 The Lake, each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com or find us on all major podcast platforms. Just search On the Move Radio Download.
A production of the Whitfield Media Group.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Well,
Welcome back to the program. It's Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, both of us here live in studio, Whitfield Media Studios, as we bring you Racing Talk Radio each and every Monday at 6 o'clock, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR information you need to know. And, of course, today, recapping the race from the Roval. And then we look ahead to what's going on next week. But the big thing is, it is time, or we are down, I should say. We are down to the last four races of the year. Sean, the last 4 weeks of the season, we've got the round of eight, which is the third round of the playoffs. And then after these next three races, the top four that remain will be your only four drivers eligible to be your 2025 NASCAR champion, and that will all go down in Phoenix.
Are you pleased at where NASCAR has the Roval in the schedule? Do you like it being a part of the playoffs, or would you rather see it possibly be considered being relocated to another time during the season? You ever thought about that?
I mean, I'm good. No, I don't care if it's the Roval, but I do like a road course race. I like when the playoffs has a little something for everybody, and also it shows you can get around every kind of track. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, a road course is a bonus for, obviously, for Shane Van Gisbergen. I mean, he could, like we said, Sean, if he can just get past those first three races and still be in the top 12, then he would have just won this race, and he'd be in the top eight. That's giving him an advantage because he's really good at a certain kind of track, but you've got to be good at all of them and kind of in order to continue to advance. So, you know, it's whether or not it's the Roval, I don't really care. But I do like a road course being in there.
I in some ways wish this race at Charlotte was on the Oval. But I know that Charlotte Motor Speedway has invested a lot of money in building the Roval. So I don't see that changing. But I'm kind of in favor of the old traditional Charlotte Motor Speedway. Have any opinion on that? Or are you comfortable with what we got?
No, I'm cool with what we got. Like, races
just an opinion.
Races in Charlotte are good for NASCAR. I mean, that's the hub, right? Mm-hmm. And I do feel like NASCAR is going away from going to tracks twice just because that's what we do. I do. 10 years ago, Sean, I felt like we went to all the big name tracks twice, you know, and they are trying to switch it up. And I think that's a good thing. I don't hate the Roval. It's a good race.
Let's dive into the driver's standings of the NASCAR Cup Series after the race at Charlotte. Denny Hamlin is in the lead, 2 points ahead of second place Ryan Blaney, third Kyle Larson, fourth William Byron, and fifth Christopher Bell.
All right, so we are in the standings, Sean. So what really matters, it's not the top five, it's the top eight. Who is still left? Sixth spot, Chase Elliott, seventh, Chase Briscoe, and eighth, making the final cut, Joey Logano. Sean, edges out Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, Ross Chastain, and of course SVG, who didn't make it, and then Alex Bowman all the way down to 13th. So the top eight are the ones that will move on to the next round. That's Joey Logano, both Chases, Elliott and Briscoe, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, and Denny Hamlin.
So basically we've got three Hendrick drivers, we've got three Joe Gibbs drivers, and we've got two Penske drivers.
I mean, how very 2010 of NASCAR. I mean, we're really going retro. All the teams.
So when you,
I mean, does 2311 get a little bit of credit because their owner is leading the standings? Maybe.
Well, you know, they got bigger problems than that, just because of the fact that they're not even a charter team right now. Plus the fact they've got the lawsuit hanging over their head. But, you know, this is really no big surprise. I mean, these are the three premier team organizations in the sport. So the way it's ended up
is truly no surprise to me. That's to be expected. I think this is pretty much exactly what most of the NASCAR fan base would have expected the whole all along.
It's a little you think about it. We start with 16 of them and teams, and then we end up with three team owners. Now, from a manufacturer standpoint, you got some Chevy, you got some Toyota, you got some Ford. That's good. But I guess it really – is this a cream rises to the top situation, Sean? Is this some drivers not taking advantage of opportunities? Or is this money equals performance?
When you say money equals performance, what is it?
Your big rich teams are the top eight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's got a lot to do with it. And of course, your financially strong teams are going to have the best drivers. It's sort of hand in hand. Would you not agree?
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. But it's, you know.
And as far as the drivers that fell out, that's pretty much the ones I would have expected to have fallen out. So the eight
I guess that's the disappointing part. I'm looking at this top eight, and I'm guessing, I mean, Chase Briscoe, I guess, would be my underdog, my long shot, my dark horse.
I would go along with that. So who would take his place? Ross Chastain's
not been deserving. You were kind of hoping a Reddick or a Bubba Wallace would get in there.
Well, Tyler Reddick, he hasn't really performed well consistently throughout the year. Well, but the one that's performed well to any consistency has been Bubba Wallace. This has probably been Bubba Wallace's best year yet. Yeah, the Chase Briscoe, he's not a high profile name, but certainly he's gotten the job done.
So right now, Sean, I've got a betting app, by the way. Gotten back into betting, gambling. Very cool. I won a little money this weekend. Nothing.
Well, what's a little money? 10 or 20 bucks?
Yeah, I mean, I never bet like more than 20 to 25 a game. But they've got all these crazy bets. Like, you can bet $5, and if the guy you pick scores a touchdown. If the Bengals quarterback sneaked their first touchdown of the game, I would have won $400. Well, it's a really crazy, dumb bet, but it's also only $5. But then again, they just took five of my dollars. So you can see where they know what they're doing, right?
I could see where it would make it a whole lot more entertaining.
Well, it's good for... I bet
as long as you're doing, small amounts of money.
I bet the Virginia and Louisville game. You think I care anything about those two teams? No. But when it got down to them getting ready to go in overtime, I was very invested, right? And so that's the fun part. But listen, this is what I was gonna show you. Right now with the top eight, who do you think the betting favorite of all these drivers we just came in? Who is the betting favorite to be the champion? And I'll tell you who's got the longest odds, and you'll be shocked. In fact, I'm about to put a little money on this.
I would say Christopher Bell is the betting favorite.
Christopher Bell, mid-pack, actually.
Huh.
The betting favorite is Ryan Blaney.
Well,
okay.
Let's
go the other way. Who's got the longest odds to be your champion?
Joey Logano.
Joey Logano is correct.
Yeah.
How?
He has oftentimes in his past.
But he's a multiple champion. He's driving for Penske. Joey, he's the Wiley veteran now.
But he does always seem to figure out how to come through.
All right, Sean, I have got a little bonus bet, a little wager. I can put $26 on him and win $263. You know what? Here we go, champ.
Is that got you?
Come on, champ. It's done. I'm locked in.
To be the champion.
To be the champion. So all he's got to do is get to the next round. And if he wins one of the next three races, he's guaranteed to do it. I think that's crazy. Penske's a top team.
And that's become such a big, huge business for all sports.
being able to have that access on your on your smartphone.
It's infused so much money, good and bad, but that's why that's why, you know, coaches can no longer be coy about like our players hurt or not, because the betting public needs to know. I mean, that's the thing. Once you sell your soul to Vegas, and odds can now be made about, you know, based on that, you doing any of that all of a sudden manipulates the lines, and you can't have that.
So they have your credit card on file? Is that the way that works?
Not at all.
How does that work?
I send in money via Venmo.
Okay. So,
they've got my Venmo account, but you don't keep a lot of money in that.
So you only put money in Venmo when you're getting ready to transfer money to them.
Correct.
But do you keep a balance with them? Like,
I put $100 in, and then it's been going up and down based on me if I'm winning or losing.
Okay.
So, and they're always giving you like free money if you bet it a certain way, which is just makes, you know, it just stokes the activity, gets people, well, I'll throw $5 in it. Luckily, I'm not I enjoy gambling, but it's not a vice of mine that I would be able to have. I can't mess with my money like that.
Yeah.
But I can see how it could get really tricky for people that like this a lot.
Oh yeah. I had a friend of mine that, didn't want his spouse to know he was gambling.
Yeah.
And he had another credit card that was only in his name.
That makes my stomach hurt thinking about.
And it had gotten out of control. And then he found himself in a mess.
Here's the thing. They don't build those big giant buildings out in Vegas because they're bad at their job.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You will eventually lose.
And there's so many of them. There's so many different betting apps.
And depending on, I want to say in Georgia, it's still not, some of them aren't licensed in Georgia. Yeah. We know my house is so close to the line.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll kick me off because it thinks I'm in Georgia and I can't bet there and I have to reset it.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally, you're not even a mile from state line.
I could walk over, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm not even going to start it because I could see, and there's no question, I could keep it under control and have it to where, you know, a serious bettor would laugh at me at what I'm doing. But I'm not even going to start it, you know. But I could see where it can make it a little more fun.
Yeah, it just, you know, it puts a little skin in the game.
That it does. So we got Denny Hamlin, Ron Blaney, Kyle Larson, William Byron, Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, Chase Briscoe, and Joey Logano all moving on to the round of eight as the NASCAR playoffs continue. We come back, we'll give you the latest update on the lawsuit between NASCAR and 2311. Along with Front Row Motorsports. We got all that and more straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us. There's a
hope in me that I will die for something. Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Blake Watson.
Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for Your Home Radio, presented by Blake Watson with Epic Realty on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics all related to your home.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Chattanooga, when it comes to vascular care, there's one name that stands above the rest, the Vascular Institute, your regional leaders in vascular care. What sets us apart? First and foremost, your convenience matters. We're the only vascular practice to welcome self-referrals, putting you in control of your health journey. No need for a maze, just a direct path to the care you deserve. Worried about wait times? At the Vascular Institute, timely appointments are our promise. Your symptoms won't wait, and neither should you. Comprehensive care isn't just a tagline. It's our commitment. High-quality outpatient treatments that cover all areas of your vascular health. That's the Vascular Institute difference. 5 convenient locations to serve you. Find Vascular Institute online at vascularinstituteofchattanooga.com.
Hey, it's Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Housing inventory is up in 2025. And as your local realtor in Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia, I can help you navigate today's market. Visit athomechattanooga.com. Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 888-893-3537.
Do you love some fresh Mexican food? Do you like to eat healthy? I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio. Here on Rock 103.7, Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, and we're getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR you need to know. This week coming up, the first race of the third round, which has 8 drivers. Don't get it confused now, Sean. It's the third round that has 8 drivers. We're talking about the first race. This may be something to NASCAR deciding that they're going to go a different direction after this season. We're going to Vegas. Uh-oh. Kyle Busch's home track. You have to say that every time we go. And the race is going to be this Sunday, and you can find it on Sean's favorite, USA.
All right, let's move into some news in the world of NASCAR. We're going to give you the latest happenings regarding the lawsuit with NASCAR against or versus 2311 and Front Row Motorsports. NASCAR included the statements as an exhibit to its motion for summary judgment recently in their final attempt to get the case dismissed before it's going on to trial in December. The charters guarantee owner spots in the field and base amounts of revenue each year, and NASCAR estimates and they claim in this motion that it's created more than $1.5 billion in equity value for its team since 2016. We discussed a couple of weeks ago that we haven't heard any official statements come out from any of the team owners. Well, that has changed. Roger Penske just said, who instituted a charter system in IndyCar recently, excuse me, I signed the 2025, and this is a quote from Roger, I signed the 2025 charters because I felt that NASCAR was not going to move any further on their document, and it was time for our teams to go forward. I am presenting this declaration in the hope, or with the hope that the parties to the litigation can settle the litigation as soon as possible. Didn't feel like there was a much.
So that's basically saying, can we settle this?
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Richard Childress said, without charters, the team ownership model is unsustainable. That is why I remain committed to finding a mutually agreeable solution that will provide permanent charters to all charter holders. Rick Hendrick, his quotes are stating here, without the framework in place, I question the long-term viability of the teams. More than anything, I hope the matter is resolved in a way that does not put the sport at risk. Well, the sport's at risk right now if it goes on to trial. Joe Gibbs, I have made it clear to both sides if this loss in the lawsuit that I do not want to be a witness, and I think it's important for this to be resolved before any real damage is done to the sport.
So everybody seems to be walking the line, Sean, of I just want this to be over. We need a framework in place.
The charter system is good, but perhaps needs to be worked on. Everyone's just kind of staying in that nice middle groove.
Yeah. NASCAR has also indicated, and so before I share this, it's okay, what happens next? NASCAR has indicated there is a path forward to resolution before trial, though it is unwilling to renegotiate the charter agreement. NASCAR has also not revealed what common grounds it is willing to reach with 2311 or with Front Row Motorsports. This is a statement that was made by the judge. But going to trial is a dangerous proposition. If the teams lose, 2311 and Front Row Motorsports could simply cease to exist in NASCAR. 2311 has already told its employees they will be taken care of through the 2020-2026 season. It isn't financially viable for the organizations to compete without charters, no matter how much money Jordan has. For NASCAR, the stakes are so much higher for everyone from the France family to the 13 teams that aren't suing. A loss could lead to a dramatic overhaul of NASCAR's very structure, starting with charter system teams say they won't. Bell could order, and Judge Bell says that he could order the France family to sell the series or the racetracks they own.
Okay, that's never going to happen, but could technically be a ruling.
Well, it could. The lawsuit has already taken its toll on the industry, and the time for resolution is dwindling. And of course, right now there's so much uncertainty for 2026, and it's making it more and more difficult for these teams to either finalize or give much peace of mind to all their sponsors.
So what in my, basically this is how I read the whole thing, is NASCAR holds all the cards here. Or at least they're used to always holding all the cards.
Yeah.
And Sean, we all know that they sent out the agreements for the charters at like, you know, noon and said it had to be signed at midnight. You know, just a total bully strong arm tactic of like, if you want it, this is what you've got to do. And Michael Jordan actually stood up and said, no, that ain't right. This needs, you got to run this thing fair. We need to be able to look over this and negotiate. And NASCAR goes, no, this is how we do it. Take it or leave it. And so I feel like Michael Jordan is the first person to stand up to him. You got to think the rest of the team owners are like,
and he has the financial means to do it.
Yes. Hey, that's a good thing. However, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Let's not completely tear this thing down, because NASCAR is good for everyone involved. You know, Jordan just wanted, it sounds like, kind of wanted his fair shake at it. And you know how it goes, Sean. Businesses used to having their way and doing whatever they want. And, you know, extremely wealthy people like the France family aren't really good at being told what to do.
Okay, you were talking about your betting app a little bit ago. All indications is this is going to trial in early December. Judge Bell has came out more than once and has said on the record, you guys need to figure out resolution. You guys do not want this going to trial, because if it does, it is not going to be pretty, and things could be very different one way or the other. Do you think that the two parties will settle by the end of November, or do you think this will go on to trial?
I think there's too much at stake, and I think there is going to be a lot of positioning, a lot of puffed out chests, a lot of peacocking. Mm-hmm. And then when we get right down to it, an agreement will be struck before they ever go to trial.
I don't think NASCAR will back down. I don't know if Michael Jordan is as thick as thieves with the rest of the team owners. I think there's going to be pressure, if there's not already, coming from the other team owners, pressuring 2311 to back off and try to settle. But, you know, Michael Jordan is still somewhat the new guy on the team owner block as far as the group of NASCAR owners that have been in it for decades. And Michael could have the attitude is, you know, guys, I'm sorry. This is business. I didn't start this thing to back off and not fight till the bitter end, Jordan, for what I believe.
Jordan could very easily say, he's like, I'm already on the hook for paying my people next year. Yeah. I would rather not have a team than have to play by your dirty rules.
Yeah.
So
he could. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Say, come on, big boy. Because the one thing NASCAR doesn't want is discovery. The minute they get to ask for all the files and documents and let's face it, you know NASCAR's got skeletons in the closet, and you know everything they do is not on the up and up. And they have worked so hard to be considered one of the major, I mean, the major motorsport and one of the major players in the American sports landscape.
And they've been privately owned forever.
You do not want some. And so, like I said, it's going to be a whole lot of peacocking. And then when it all comes down, everybody's just got too much to lose.
So you think it's going to go to trial?
Nope, settlement.
You think it's going to be settled?
It'll be settled.
All right. I wonder if that's going to be on your app before too long.
I don't know if they have legal betting odds.
Is there any kind of legal betting odds going on there? All right. Where are we headed to next?
Vegas. Let's go.
Speaking of betting.
Kyle Busch is going to win a very meaningless race. What do you say?
Kyle Busch. Oh, man. Can you believe we used to talk about him all the time, and now we seldom ever
have anything positive
or good news to say about him? I'm going to go Joey Logano.
Yes. Joey, I'm pulling for it. I got money on the line.
Joey has had a lot of success at Vegas. So I'm going to go with Joey Logano. But regardless, we'll be back here next Monday at 6 p.m. right here on Chattanooga's Rock Station, Rock 103.7, to break it all down. So if you choose to watch the race or you choose not to watch the race, no worries. We'll tell you exactly what you need to know right here next Monday, 6 p.m., and we'll break it all down for you. Any final words, sir?
Have a great week. Hope your eye gets better. Let's do this again next week.
Thank you, sir. And that's going to do it for us. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and thank you for listening. She said, I'm ready for you.
This has been the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 103.7. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.